praying, Father God, that that we understand our accountability and who we're accountable to. Help us to see the error of our ways and change the things that we've done that's not like you, Father God, and just help us to be in one accord with you and walk in the way that you would call us to be, Father God. Bless all the churches of Christ all over land and country. Our husbands and those in leadership positions, Father God, continue to just bless them. Father God, we ask that you heal those that are sick and comfort those that are bereaved. We ask that you be with the Kilpatrick family right now, Father God, and the loss of Sister Della Kilpatrick. Father God, we ask that you be with her daughters, Father God. We ask that you be with her family and her friends. We love you, we praise you, we adore you, and we thank you again for this opportunity to be on the call and be in one accord as we kick off our summer revival. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Jan, for that powerful, powerful prayer. Now we're going to have our scripture reading, and that's going to be done by our dear sister, Natissa Thompson.
Good evening, sister. I will be reading tonight 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 10 through 21, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 through 21, and it reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin with no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May the Lord bless the hearers and the doers of his word."
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Natissa, for boldly reading God's word on tonight. Now we're going to have a song praise from our very own, our dear sister, Soraka Melton.
Thank you. Good evening to everyone. Bear with me, please. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humble your hearts to God. Save from a chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims try. Christians away. Jesus is come. coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet that doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meeting in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be all happy forevermore when we meet on that shore, free from all cares. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, onward we then shall fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Thank you.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Sharaka. That is one of my favorite songs, and I was over here singing with you. We appreciate that. Thank you for allowing God to use your voice on tonight. All right, sisters, now we will have our introduction. And the introduction of the speaker will be done by our very own Sister Vivian Mills.
Good evening, sisters. Thank you so much for hosting, Sister Katrina. Tonight, I have introduced to you our speaker, Sister Dorothy Ruth Jenkins. She is one of our administrators for Lady Prayer Warriors of the Church of Christ, and she's no stranger to speaking to us on our Friday night Bible series, and she has spoken on several topics. Sister Jenkins is a retired educator. She taught in Georgia public schools for 33 years. She is a dedicated member of the Renaissance Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia, where she served on the garden ministry, working with new converts. She sings with the Golden Voices of Renaissance and has been with the chorus for more than 35 years. Sister Jenkins will celebrate on March 10, 2022, her marriage to Brother Johnny Jenkins for 50 long years. She has two adult children, a daughter, Callie, and a son, Calvin. She has two grandchildren, grandson, Amir, who is 18, and granddaughter, Ryan, she is 11. Sister Jenkins' favorite scripture is Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Tonight, I introduce the song and present to others our speaker, Sister Dorothy Ruth Jenkins. Thank you.
Good evening, sisters. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is indeed an honor to have this opportunity once again to present a lesson from God's holy and divine word. I'm appreciative to our administration for the opportunity given to me to participate as a speaker for our August Summer Gospel Revival Series, in which we have entitled, Who are you accountable to, God or man? I would be remiss if I didn't say thanks to all of our program participants, our most gracious host, Sister Katrina Stafford, Sister Jane Goosby for our opening prayer, Sister Natissa Thompson for our scripture reading, Sister Sharaka Melton for that beautiful song praise, Sister Vivine Mills for that wonderful, wonderful introduction, and we want to thank Sister Bridges White in advance, who will do our closing prayer. Sisters, if you have your copy of God's Word, I invite you to please come with me to our scriptural text found in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 10 through 21. I will be reading from the English Standard Version to lay the foundation for our lesson. Again, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 10 through 21. And the scripture reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thus goes the reading of God's holy and divine word. Who are you accountable to, God or man? Sisters, what an amazing theme for Our Lady Prayer Warriors Summer Gospel Revival 2022. The theme presents to us a thought-provoking question that is deeply engraved in biblical accountability, which begins with taking responsibility for one's own actions and making a conscious choice of allowing God and others to help in accomplishing that which is right. As we grow in our Christian faith, we must move from the elementary truths of milk to the developmental growth of eating meat that challenges our heart and thinking. One of those deeper concepts is the question, who are you accountable to, God or man? Spiritually, we find ourselves having a lot to chew on because the answer goes against our natural reasoning when we are faced with pondering scriptures' deeper teaching. It is important to start with God's character, God's power, and God's promises. These three foundational premises can help us understand that our accountability must be to God first. He will be with us in our triumphs and our tragedies of life. There will be no not being able to depend on him. He will not let us down, but then he commands us to be accountable to our fellow man. Sisters, God is in every circumstance, painful or good, and although we can't always grasp what he is doing in our circumstances, we can rely on his promises to work all things together for good to those who belong to him. Romans 8 and verse number 28. It is important for us, sisters, to remember that nothing touches us without passing through his loving and sovereign hands. To address our theme, who are you accountable to, God or man, I would like to speak on the topic, a call to accountability, refocusing, restructuring, relaunching, and reigniting our faith. I would like to share a little background information on the context of the book of 2 Corinthians so that we can draw from it the necessary relevancy of the text. The theme of 2 Corinthians deals with Paul's apostolic authority and ministry. Throughout the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is having to defend his authority as an apostle against those in Corinth who were criticizing him. His critics seem to have been saying that Paul's suffering and persecution was evidence that he wasn't really an apostle of Jesus Christ. They were a constant thorn in his flesh. He told the Corinthians that his suffering actually proved he was a servant of Jesus Christ. He emphasized that he and his companions were always of good courage, that they walked by faith and not by sight, and that they aimed to please Christ, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 9. Sisters, Paul was never so bold or arrogant as to brag on himself. He was always mindful that it wasn't his judgment that mattered, it was the judgment of Christ that mattered. He said, what we are is known to God, and I hope it is also known of your conscience. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 11. The Apostle Paul writes in verse number 11 that he knows the fear of the Lord. This is not a reference to terror or anxiety. He does not fear eternal damnation. The sense is knowing how much the Lord is to be feared. What an object of terror and alarm it will be to stand at the judgment seat. How fearful and awful will be the consequences of the trial of that day when we have not turned over our life to him or we have not been accountable to him, the God of heaven. In our lesson study, we will be looking at two main underlying objectives. Number one, we will explore various biblical accounts of those who demonstrated faith in desperate situations. We will observe God's undeniable, miraculous movement in response to their act of faith, and we will note faith exhibited by those who may have personal risks to their reputation, security, life, and death. And number two, we will examine some faith references from the Faith Hall of Fame to observe how they were accountable in their actions. This lesson purports to recognize the spiritual and the ethical responsibilities due to our unwillingness to be accountable. Sisters, have you ever wondered why the world we live in today is in such disarray? It may be simply because we do not want to be accountable to God of heaven that created us in his very own image. We do not want to be accountable to the God of heaven who allowed us to have our very being, to move, to breathe, to walk upright, yet with the free will to choose this day whom we will serve. In presenting this lesson, who are you accountable to, God or man, I would like to share four observational points that speaks directly to a call to accountability and how being accountable to God impacts our Christian walk of faith. The four observational points that will hinge our lessons are as follows. Observational point number one, the refocusing of our faith. We want to look at sin among many other things that can derail our focus and can stop us from our continuous walk of faith. Observational point number two, the restructuring of our faith. Since our faith is being threatened and the threat comes in many forms, weakened, uncertain, and a worldly mindset, We need to have the right attitude to make the proper preparations for this vital restructuring as a responsibility to our accountability to God. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 17. Observational point number 3, the relaunching of our faith. We will examine faith as a lifestyle, not an event. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When faith is a way of living, we can nurture wise decisions and set our values on spiritual things and use them in our accountability to God. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 14. What does faith look like as a lifestyle? When we live with genuine faith in God, we are not afraid to dream, imagine, sacrifice, or take risks. Our confidence is in God of the Scripture, whose presence and power flow through those who have chosen faith in Him. An observational point number 4, the reigniting of our faith. The time is now, sisters, that we come back home to God and rededicate our lives to Him. For therein lies the great blessing and privileges of being a child of God. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 20 through 21. Who are you accountable to, God or man? Someone may be asking, why a call to accountability? Sisters, a call to accountability provides for us an opportunity to be declared righteous before God through faith in Christ. Paul declared in verses number 17 through 19 of our text, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses of reconciliation. Sisters, how many of us know that Satan wants to make us unaccountable to Almighty God? He wants to present the defense of being morally handicapped, knowing full well that such a defense will not hold in the face of the gospel. Sisters, as we stroll down through the pages of inspiration, we find the Hebrew writer in chapter 11, verse number 1 states, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What does this mean? What does faith look like? Let's see what Scripture has to say. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Sister, I invite every one of you to come with me, and we're going to look at this thing we call faith. Sisters, have you ever thought about faith is only as meaningful as the assurance it's attached to? Faith is not necessarily what we feel, because it is not an emotion. Feelings will shift based on the information we receive. Emotions do not have intellect because there is no ability to think. So we raise the question, who is the subject calling for faith? That answer, sisters, is God. The key thing is we need to be accountable to God in order to experience him, because the Bible tells us, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him, Hebrews 11 and 6. Now that we have established the wisdom of faith and its necessity in our walk of faith, come with me to the unfolding of our lesson, a call to accountability, refocusing, restructuring, relaunching, and reigniting our faith. Now, sisters, we're going to move right ahead into our lesson and explore our first observational point, the refocusing of our faith. What is meant by the refocusing of our faith? To answer that question, we must do a self-inventory of our sum total commitment to God. We have to ask ourselves, are we looking back and focusing on all the problems and pressures and the missed opportunities that we're allowed to hold us captive? Or are we looking ahead and deciding to intentionally refocus on our faith in God? Sadly as it may be, sisters, before many of us as Christians can even reach a point in complete reliance on God in our walk of faith, sin among many things creeps in, derails our focus, and stops us from our continuous spiritual walk. We are some way, what are some ways faith can be derailed? Come with me and let's consider at least 6 ways in which our faith may be derailed. It may even seem impossible, but we can achieve putting God first. The first way our faith may be derailed is when we forget God, who is the object of our faith. Faith is only as good as the object of that faith. Placing faith in someone other than God will be useless and counterproductive. A second way our faith may be derailed is when we allow ourselves to be bombarded by social media, because it is so easy for us to get caught up in comparison, laziness, lustfulness, and false perceptions. We find ourselves getting caught up in everybody's opinion. Sisters, we must keep in mind that Satan loves nothing more than to have us fall into the sin of slander and malice of words. A third way our faith may be derailed is when there is a constant urgency to check email and phone messages. Sisters, living life in our technological advanced world has taught us that waiting does not have to be an option. Text messaging is faster than a telephone call, and email is faster than the postal service. The message we have received from Have It Your Way World is this: you don't have to wait. Sisters, if we're not so quick to push through the urgency to express our thoughts, then we have seized the opportunity to thoughtfully respond so others will see Christ in us. A fourth way our faith may be derailed is when we deal with unexplored emotions. Emotions may be defined as what interests or fascinates us, who we love, what angers us, what bores us. All of these help to define us. Emotions give us character and constitute who we are. They impact our lives in ways we cannot control. A fifth way our faith may be derailed is when we spend time engaging in ruminating and worrying. Our mind is having difficulty trying to shed negative and unwanted thoughts. Sisters, we spend too much time entertaining thoughts that may never come to fruition. And a sixth way our faith may also be derailed is when we allow unresolved fights to disrupt our focus. Many conflicts are the result of us trying to change the other person, or that person is trying to change us. The change may be that person's personality, habits, or values, more social or less social, or more jealous or less jealous, or from the north instead of the south instead of the north. In other words, we want to change their character, their culture, and their way of life. Sisters, from time to time, we are all guilty of allowing one thing after another to steal our attention. We allow unwanted distractions to disrupt our lives, fretting over situations out of control. When this happens, distractions turn to frustrations, and soon we find ourselves living in survival mode instead of living with peace and confidence. Distractions, sisters, we all know, is a tactic of Satan. He loves to interfere with the lives of faith-filled women by keeping us busy and focused on other things. We lose focus on what matters the most. We all have responsibilities that demand our time and energy, and those responsibilities can overwhelm us and lead to exhaustion and cause us to forget to keep our focus and our accountability to God, who is the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12 and verse number 21. Sisters, when we are buried under the weight of life's difficulties, distractions seem to come at us from every direction. In those times, we need to refocus our hearts and minds on God. A call to accountability, refocusing, restructuring, relaunching, and reigniting our faith. The refocusing of our faith demands us first to refocus our attention on the object of faith, who is God. The early Christians are noted examples of this faith concept. Faith was not something that lived just in the temple or the synagogue. It was not just in the education system or in the laws they practiced. Their daily pattern of living was saturated in Jewish belief. For us to assume that early Christians were uneducated in the faith or lack understanding of the New Testament concepts that are spelled out for us today is a fallacy. They were well-versed in faith and the accountability to which we so often have difficulty submitting was a part of daily living among the brothers and sisters in Christ. Secondly, to refocus our attention also demands that we have the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians who were at Philippi, admonished, saying, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Now moving along, observation point number 2. A call of accountability demands the restructuring of our faith. Sisters, our faith is being threatened, and the threat comes in many forms: weakened, uncertainty, or a worldly mindset. In today's world, our faith is being disrupted. There's a need to restructure our faith. This restructuring involves several elements to transform, create, preserve, and to recover that which is lacking in our faith in God. The restructuring of our faith is supported by a broad range of faith tools. We should ask, how can we reshape? How do we make strategic decisions in times of ambiguity and uncertainty? Our faith is being threatened. We are challenged in our walk of faith to seek and find the old path and to walk therein. Jeremiah prophesied in chapter 6 and verse number 16, "Thus said the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient path where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." Sisters, next is observational point number 3. A call of accountability demands the relaunching of our faith. Faith is a lifestyle, not an event. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Sisters, accountability dictates the relaunching of our faith. There are certain qualities of accountability we must all adhere to. Number 1, take responsibility for our actions. Number 2, don't blame or make excuses. Number 3, always remain ethical for our actions. Number 4, being honest and transparent. And number 5, demonstrating outcomes. Our fourth and final observational point, a call to accountability demand the reigniting of our faith. The time is now for us to come back home to God, rededicate our lives to Him, and to evaluate who we are accountable to as a Christian. A true sign of spiritual maturity in us may be seen if we hold ourselves accountable to a higher standard. In our Christian walk of faith, we must strive for accountability. Accountability, faith in the Bible, is a lifestyle, not an event. Faith is not a concept we visit, but a lifestyle we possess, because the Bible tells us the righteous shall live by faith, and then we will experience God in action, fulfilling His word. One-time accountability is not biblical accountability. Biblical accountability requires ongoing relations with persistent daily communication. There are at least 4 areas in which we must be spiritually accountable. First and foremost, important, we must be accountable to God. Second, we must be accountable to ourselves. Third, we must be accountable to our families. And fourth, we must be accountable to the world. God has done His part, so it's up to us where we choose to spend eternity. It's our decision what we choose to feed our mind, whether it be music, movies, books, TV, radio, political, or social rhetoric. Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." What does it mean to be accountable to God? Romans 14:12 states, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is personal accountability. Joseph had a grasp of this when he was tempted on a daily basis to engage in sexual immorality with his master's wife. His reply needs to become a personal conviction for each of us in the face of temptation. Why should we be accountable to God? Because he loves us so much that he sent his beloved son to die in our place even while we were still sinners, Romans 5:8. Therefore, he deserves our love, respect, obedience, and loyalty. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe upon the cross. Second, we must be spiritually accountable to ourselves. That is why God gave each of us a conscience. Sister, we should not let anyone take away our spiritual freedom, our right to worship, and to be an ethical person. There must come a time when we stand up for Jesus. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus said, "Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me." Too many of us let our relatives become even a higher priority than God. We owe it to ourselves to give ourselves the opportunity to grow spiritually. Third, we must be accountable to our families. The Bible tells husbands to be spiritual leaders in their families, Ephesians 5:23. Well, someone may be asking, what if the husband is not a member of God's body and he refuses to exercise spiritual leadership and he shrugs off God's given responsibility? Sisters, if you can't do anything to set him straight, set God on him. Sisters, we should set a good example for our husbands, especially if they are unbelieving. 1 Corinthians 7:13-14, 1 Peter 3:1-2. And fourthly, we must be accountable to the world. Sisters, we as believers are called to be a light to the world, a spiritual city that cannot be hidden, a bright lamp on a lampstand. Non-Christians have the right to see that believers love one another and share a special bond of fellowship. John 13:35. This is one of the most important aspects of the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-29, in that the world must see something different about us that's worth having. Verse number 11 of our text, Paul says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and hope it is known also to your conscience." At the heart of accountability is one Christian submitting to Christ-centered admonition to another Christian in one or more areas of life. Hand in hand with accountability is an attitude of grace and forgiveness and to take it on one another's burden. Romans 12:16, Colossians 3:13, Galatians 6:2. Do you not know, sister, that we cannot be accountable to God if we do not know him? If we do not have a relationship with him? True or real accountability is an element of a matured, long-standing, and growing relationship with both God and his followers. Accountable to God is humbling. Real accountability carries a sense of personal humility toward God, who we are growing toward, but can never fully reach in terms of character. True accountability leads to wise living, which is a combination of knowledge of God through his word and the experience of living that out to the best of our ability. There are various biblical accounts of those who demonstrated faith in desperate situations. The very first people in the Bible are Abraham and his wife Sarah. They struggled to trust God, but learned the value of faithfulness when they submitted to God. Abraham and Sarah waited years for God to fulfill his promise of giving them a son. And then there's another notable account of faith demonstrated by Abraham when he was willing to obey God's command in Genesis 22:2, to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Abraham was fully prepared to slay his son while fully trusting God to either resurrect Isaac from the dead or provide a substitutionary sacrifice. At the last minute, God intervened and supplied the necessary ram. Now let's take a look at Hebrews 1 to examine faith references for the Faith Hall of Fame to observe how they were accountable in their actions. The first person listed is Abel, Hebrews 11:4. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than his brother Cain. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. There are many others such as Enoch, Noah, Isaac, and Jacob, but time will not permit me to go through each of their stories of faith. Please read Hebrews 11 chapter. A call to accountability, refocusing, restructuring, relaunching, and reigniting our faith. Sisters, when we are in the difficult seasons of our lives, it can be tempting to forget to whom we owe our accountability. But this is not the time we should press on, not to force a connection with God, but to submit ourselves to Him. Being accountable to Him gives Him control of our future and helps to prepare us for the journey ahead. Proclaiming faith in the truths and promises of the Bible is not the same as applying them to our own life in the midst of trying times. Sisters, it is one thing to know Scripture intellectually, but it's something else to live by faith. As I hasten to my conclusion, you know, sisters, as I grow older, I'm quickly approaching my 72 years of life. Today, I am more aware, more in tune to what really matters in life. Day in and day out, it's often spent evaluating just what kind of life I have lived. Have I allowed others to see Christ? Have my association with others caused others to want to seek the Lord and to make Him the priority in their lives? I ask myself, what do I consider my most prized possession? Is it my home, my husband, my children, or my precious grandchildren? Whether it's material or physical, sisters, I'm realizing it won't bring lasting satisfaction. The most valuable asset of all is faith. Without faith, I would have nothing of lasting value. The day will come when death is at my door and will come in, invited or uninvited. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Sisters, I want to be accountable to God. I want Him to be first and centered in my life. Who are you accountable to, God or man? The lesson is yours. Thank you, sisters.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Dorothy, for that powerful lesson. Now we will have our closing prayer done by our dear sister, Bridges White.
Let us bow, sisters. Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for another beautiful day that you've allowed us to see. Father, we thank you so much for us being able to share in your word tonight with each other. I ask that you bless each and every household that is represented on the line, Father, and bless those who are not able to make it tonight. Father, thank you for your daughter, our sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins, for always, always being instrumental in lifting us up through your word, Father God. Thank you for giving her the ability to want to study your word, and thank you for giving her the opportunity to share it with us, Father God. What a beautiful lesson she has given unto us. And, Father, that we know we need to stay accountable to you, Father God. Father, we love you. We adore you. Thank you for our first-time callers. Thank you for everyone that was able to make it tonight, Father God, and bless those who were not able to make it. It's in the very precious name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Bridges White, for that powerful, powerful closing prayer.